All right, let's head over to the Zoom line where we've got Mr. Joe Sinnott on the line with us. He's with Whiting Partners. He's also the host of the Energy Detox podcast. How many years now, Joe, have you been doing the podcast? That's been 5 years, 4 years?
We crossed the five-year mark in March.
I think it
kicked off on right around St. Patrick's Day of 2020, which, you know, it's pretty easy to remember for some reason. I think there was something going on in the world. So it was a COVID baby, if you will.
You know, I can remember this was probably 4 or 5 years ago when I did get a phone call and somebody was all excited because they wanted to start a new podcast. And, you know, like everybody, their podcast is going to be bigger than Joe Rogan's and Tucker Carlson's combined, right? So they're all excited about it. And I kind of step out into my back porch at that time. And I said, well, not to burst your bubble here, but my backyard neighbor, he works part-time at the news station as a sports announcer, so he has a podcast. His neighbor is running for the U.S. House. He has a podcast. I go, the other neighbor on the other side, she's actually running against the person running for the U.S. House, so she has one through the Democrat Party. I go, and my other neighbor next to me, he works for Microsoft, and he has one for his band that plays annually. And I go, honestly, the guy down the street, his cat has one that's more popular than all of ours combined. So everybody seems to have a podcast these days. But now the mile marker is how many years? So you're coming up on 5 years. And that says a lot because, like I said, anybody can do a podcast these days, but how many people can stick with it? And so congratulations. We'll have to make sure we celebrate your 5 year mark. And that's one of the things I wanted to talk to you about today, Joe, is that whether somebody is starting a new podcast or starting a new business, when layoffs happen, people are faced with a certain amount of choices. They can find a new job, which is probably the number one thing that people do a lot of times outside the industry. So they have to go find a whole new direction in life, a whole new network of friends, a whole new network of time, if you will. The other thing people do is they go back to school. Okay, let's go further in debt and figure out our life while we get that situated, that sort of thing. But then there's start up your own business, which is a whole different kind of debt, or it's a savings or something along those lines. So you're looking at one that is kind of maintaining. You're looking at another one that you're taking a little bit of a risk, but there's a big reward at the end as far as education goes. And then you're looking at, hey, I'm going to go and do the small business startup thing, which is a big risk, but big reward. Big reward, Joe. Okay, you've been through it all. You've coached all of them. Let's go through these a little bit here. Just a basic one over. How do you coach someone through that? Because people are getting laid off left and right now, Joe. Not to dismiss the situation, but reality is happening.
Yeah, great question. And I like that you framed it in terms of risk and reward, because one of the biggest things when it comes to coaching people in those situations is, first, you know, having an understanding of what that best case scenario is, having them sit with, hey, best case scenario, what does this look like? And then on the flip side, hey, worst case scenario, if you go down this path, whether it's, as you said, you know, going to school, starting a business, just trying to find a similar job to what you've had before, it's, hey, if you go down this path, what's the worst case scenario? And getting them comfortable sitting with that and kind of playing that out, that's big. The second big thing that is necessary early on that a lot of people, I don't want to say ignore, Jason, but they don't slow down to ask this question. And that is, what resources do you already have at your disposal? Because a lot of people, when they reach out to me in those, you know, moments of transition, you know, they're looking for answers, right? They're looking for a resource that's going to help them, you know, guide them through the process, which is great. I appreciate when people reach out. But the very first thing I do is say, all right, well, where are you at already? What have you done already? You know, what do you already have in place that you can lean on, that you can leverage so that you're, you know, not starting from scratch? Because a lot of people, again, it can feel like that, right, Jason? In this moment of transition, to be like, oh, I'm starting anew, right? The language we use, oh, fresh start. But it's not always as fresh as people think. And having them understand that they're probably further along in the decision-making process, or, you know, the starting up of a business, if you will, then they realize, that's a key first step, at least when people reach out to me when they're in these, again, are in or about to enter a period of transition.
You know, not to go back to the podcast example, but we'll kind of stay on that a little bit, because that people do start podcast businesses, and they believe that's going to sustain and actually make a living for them, and et cetera, et cetera. And as somebody who's been making a living off of it more or less for 15 years, you have to come up with six or seven different ways to monetize. You know, I mean, we've got promo codes, we've got sponsors, we do consulting. We actually have subscribers on a monthly basis. And that's just off the top of my head, Joe, how many different ways I got to figure out revenue streams. And the reason I bring this up is because the average person, when I consult them going into the podcast business, 9 out of 10 don't do the podcast. I talk them right out of it because I ask them to do one thing, manage their expectations. And they cannot do that. So I do not recommend that they move forward. And Joe, that's a tough conversation to have. And that is a very tough interpersonal look that people need to have on themselves. How do you do that? How do you do that in your world? Because in a business, it's the same thing. Hey, my business is gonna, I just told my son a couple weeks ago, who's been selling real estate, everybody has an aunt or uncle or cousin that sells real estate. So they're not gonna use you. They're not gonna use you, man. All those friends you thought, they've got closer connections. So, and that's two examples there, but how do you manage expectations in people?
Yeah, well, it starts with feelings, Jason. I know that's very dangerous to say. Obviously, you know, I focus on the world of oil and gas, so talking about feelings can be a little bit of a dangerous territory, but it starts with getting the person to say, all right, hey, this is how I would feel if this is how things played out. You know, this is how I would feel if, you know, I go down this path and I have to shift gears in a year or two or whatever. Getting them sit with those hypotheticals, getting them to sit with, you know, this almost make-believe scenario that could very well happen, that's the key, Jason. Getting them to see basically all the different paths that they might find themselves on, and then being able to articulate, yeah, you know what, Joe, that would be miserable. There's no way I think I could recover from that. Or, hey, you know what, if I went down this path and I had to shift gears in a couple years, that'd be fine. Or again, as you're talking about starting a podcast, you know what, if I start up a podcast and nobody watches or listens, actually, that's okay, because, you know, I just want to get these thoughts down. I want to kind of, you know, flesh out some of these ideas. And I think putting together a podcast is a great way to do that, so I have more clarity. That's the, again, this make-believe approach, if you will, that I take with people, especially people who are hardened and who don't like talking about their feelings. That's when it's most important to do that, Jason. So that's typically one of the early steps that I do with folks, so that, again, you know, they're not going to run into any surprises down the road, because they've already sat with those feelings. They've already sat with those hypotheticals and you know, the potentialities, if you will.
You know, one of the things, whether the business has been around for 10 years or it's a brand new business, it's much easier to read the instructions of the bottle from the outside than it is when you're inside the bottle. And talk to me a little bit about the importance of that outside perspective, because you can have everything going along smoothly, and then if you miss something or you don't think ahead because you're so caught up inside your bottle, inside your echo chamber, you have yes men around you, yes women around you, whatever the case is, you can't read the instructions from inside the bottle, Joe. Talk to me a little bit about that outside perspective.
Yeah, I don't know if I need to elaborate beyond what you just said, Jason. It's invaluable to have somebody that's not family, that's not friend, that's not a colleague, that's not some sort of, you know, internal resource that you're already comfortable with or who's comfortable with you, to, you know, challenge you and ask a question or two that you might not otherwise get from somebody else. I mean, it's as simple as that, Jason. So when I talk about, you know, the value that I bring to individuals or to organizations, a lot of it is locked up in that independent nature. You know, I can ask what I need to ask. I don't have any extra layers or filters that I need to worry about, because my role is to come in and challenge. My role is to come in and see things and, you know, poke holes in things. And if you don't have somebody around you that is able to do that, it's going to set you back. You know, you are going to miss things. Heck, Jason, I mean, that's the whole concept behind the company name, right? My company is Witting Partners. The whole idea is that there's so many people who are unwittingly, you know, going through life transitions, unwittingly leading teams, unwittingly leaving their family, and, you know, sort of setting themselves up for a disaster, right? They're unwittingly putting their foot in their mouth. They're unconsciously saying things or doing things that are limiting their prospects of success. And so it takes an outsider in many cases to, you know, inject a little bit of consciousness into people's thinking. And again, that's what I bring to the table. That's why I named the business the way I did, to, you know, fuel conscious leaders, not just people, as you say, are just kind of, you know, trying to read the label, you know, from the inside and kind of follow a script that they've been following for, you know, who knows how long.
Let's give your podcast a little bit of a commercial or some attention, if you will. The last one you just did, well, I should say the last one I saw, was in response to a energy transfer promotion called That's Gas. Give us the summary a little bit on that. I thought that was a pretty good one.
Well, thanks. It's always nice to know that there's at least one person out there that ingests the podcast that I've been pumping out now for 5+ years. But the That's Gas campaign, That's Gas commercial, is a great campaign, one of several campaigns that Energy Transfer's had over the last couple of years to promote the fact that natural gas, and, you know, in conjunction with oil, of course, is a significant part of our lives here in the developed world. And so, you know, that particular commercial involves somebody who, you know, jumps out in front of people while they're performing normal tasks like shopping for clothes or, you know, in the backyard with their swimming pool or golfing, and reminds them that, hey, that's gas. The shirt you're putting on, well, that's gas because it's made of products that come from natural gas. Or for golfers that are, again, enjoying the sport, to remind them that, hey, that's gas. The fertilizer that helps the grass grow, the golf balls are made of, again, natural gas. So the episode of the podcast played off of that, again, great idea, that great commercial from Energy Transfer, and use it as a way to remind people that they should always be on the lookout for things that are leadership. You know, look around you and say, hey, that's leadership. You know, slowing down to ask a good question of somebody, that's leadership. You know, setting a good example for somebody when it comes to, you know, how you interact with your family or taking vacation, especially if you're in a leadership position in a company with lots of demands. If you're that leader who doesn't take vacation, who, you know, seemingly doesn't really care about his or her family, you know, that's not leadership. So being on the lookout for positive examples of, you know, again, good leadership. Same thing that you should be doing, you know, when it comes to, you know, if you're an energy industry advocate, always being on the lookout to make that connection, because it's real, right, Jason? You know, we could talk in generalities about, you know, the merits of oil and gas. We could talk in generalities about leadership, but looking for specific concrete examples that are in front of you right now and making that connection in the moment, I mean, that's invaluable. So that was the gist of that episode. And more significantly, I think, again, for you know, any of your viewers or listeners who haven't seen the Energy Transfer ad, definitely head over to YouTube, Energy Transfer, That's Gas. Give it a look. There's a 30-second version and a 60-second version, and it's well worth your time.
Of course, we have them in the show page as well. So if you're listening to this while you're having the crude life or This Week in Energy's show page up, we'll have the natural gas ad right in there as well. Boy, that's one of the nice things about the modern day. You can just grab a commercial from somewhere else and throw it right on your platform. And boy, that's just, it's so nice to be able to do that in the modern day. But one thing about the vacation I do want to mention, because right now a lot of vacations are kind of wrapping up as people are getting ready for the summer starter pistol. And then family vacations start. It's a whole different kind of vacation. But for executives especially, vacations, I think, should be mandatory, because that's your opportunity to step outside of the bottle and read the instructions. That's your opportunity to take your step back and do your best to grow internally by stepping back, because when you're in it, it's hard, Joe. Even when you're out of it, it's hard. Sometimes it's the second week of the vacation that things finally click. You need a week to unwind before you can actually start thinking again. So it doesn't always happen, but there is a benefit for a vacation, especially if you're somebody in the executive role. It's a one step back, two steps forward type of a mindset, Joe. What's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, well, again, you're spot on there, Jason. But one thing I'll add to that, and this was what I conveyed, or at least I think I tried to convey in that podcast episode you referenced. And that is that, you know, when it comes to things like vacation, you still need to make a conscious decision. So it's one thing to to say, hey, yes, you know, executives need vacations too. They need to model that behavior. They need to recharge. You know, that's a good default. That's a good almost set of instructions to follow, Jason. But the point of that podcast was actually that, you know, sometimes you do need to skip a vacation. You know, sometimes you do need to say, hey, look, I had this vacation scheduled, but I'm not going to take it because it would be more valuable for me, for my family, for my team to actually, you know, push that out in the future a couple months and dive into this work-related challenge that's right in front of me. So again, it's good to have defaults. It's good to recognize that, again, you might be, you know, unconsciously setting a bad example by not taking vacation. But at the end of the day, it's far more important to make sure that any decision you're making is conscious and that you're aware, which comes back to the value of having somebody to challenge your decision, right? You know, I've seen it so many times, right? You go 180 degrees from operating, you know, under one set of assumptions or behaving in one way, and then you go back the other direction when really, you know, the answer by and large is, well, it should depend, right? It should depend on circumstances. So obviously, I mean, I agree 100% with what you're talking about. I wouldn't have invoked that example in the podcast or in this conversation if I didn't. But again, the more important thing, Jason, is that consciousness that I aim to make sure that leaders carry with them as they go through their personal and professional lives.
Joe Sinnott, host of the Energy Detox podcast and the CEO of Whiting Partners. He's out of the Marcellus Utica Shale Play up near Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. You can often see Joe Sinnott have a photograph at a ball game. Is it PNC Park still? What's the name of the park in Pittsburgh?
It is PNC Park, home of the Pirates, although I think I saw a Babylon Bee headline or some sort of headline recently that said that, you know, PNC Park wanted out. They're disappointed in the performance of the team. So PNC Park is thinking of leaving town. A little play on the, you know, the fact that a lot of teams in recent years, right, are looking to skip town. So that being said, yes, the home of our lowly Pirates is indeed the beautiful, very beautiful PNC Park.
It's actually one of the models still. It's one of my favorite parks I've ever been to is PNC Park. Actually, they had the sausage races when I was there too. Let's talk a little bit, there's mascot races. One of them was a sausage at least. Let's talk a little bit about a couple sports things going on here because these make great executive metaphors. These make great examples. And we got two happening right there in Pittsburgh. One is with the Pittsburgh Pirates of Andy Van Slyke legendary status. That's my favorite Pittsburgh Pirate, Andy Van Slyke. So when we take a look at the Pirates, they just went through a lot of turmoil. We had that happening in Minnesota. They actually, the fans were going to boycott the Minnesota Twins to start the season because of the owner. We have a owner that the fans want to get rid of. You have a manager that the fans apparently, I don't know what happened there, but new owner, new management, new manager there, new changes happening with the Pittsburgh Pirates. What advice do you have for the Pittsburgh Pirate fans, and what advice do you have for the Pittsburgh Pirate management there? What, you know, bringing your executive coaching to the Pittsburgh Pirates?
Oh boy, that's a tall task there, Jason. That's why I stick to oil and gas. I stick to my area of expertise here. But
we call this fantasy. Hey, by the way, we call this fantasy coaching.
Fantasy coaching. All right. Well, I guess first starting with, you know, sort of Pittsburgh leadership, if you will, on down from the owner. And again, I think most Pittsburgh Pirates fan, to the extent they're upset, you know, it does start with ownership. So, again, I'm not privy to what you're seeing up there in your neck of the woods with the Twins necessarily, but certainly here, you know, when the home opener has an airplane flying around with a banner that says sell the team or sell the team, Bob, in reference to Bob Nutting. Again, you know, you've struck a nerve with the locals here. So,
but you can relate that to oil and gas because of the shareholders and Exxon and all these different, you know, that, so there is some parallels here, Joe. But anyways, I continue. Sorry to interrupt.
No, it's interrupt away, Jason. Like I said, I'm definitely beyond my area of expertise. But, you know, when it comes to the actual, you know, leadership, you know, all you can do is be as candid as possible at this point. You know, don't dance around the fact that, you know, you're cheap and you're not willing to spend money. You know, you can embrace it. You can own it. You can almost take the wind out of the sails, if you will, of the fan base. Because if you're saying, hey, no, we are making investments, we are planning for the long term, but you're not showing those results, well, again, you've lost all credibility. And when you talk about sort of a metaphor for, you know, the corporate world or the more traditional corporate world, it's the same thing, Jason. I see so often leaders who dance around the realities that everybody within the organization and probably outside of the organization knows to be true, but that leadership refuses to say. Or worst case, they sugarcoat the realities when it's not necessary. Obviously, there's a time and a place to, clearly there are certain things that are confidential that you can't say. I get that. I've lived in that world. But there's a lot of stuff that you can say, but that again goes unchallenged. And this comes back to the need to have an external resource to say, hey, why not come out and say this? Why not address the elephant in the room? Why not address the accusations that are out there in terms of, again, your cheapness or your unwillingness to make changes? Again, that's my advice for the Pirates. That's my advice for any company that's faced with, internal or external challenges, Jason. In
All right,
terms of the
let's.
fan base and, sort of how they navigate things, what I say to them is, don't settle. Continue saying, hey, what would be ideal? Put it on the fans to say, all right, well, how do you define success? Let's be concrete here. Because it's easy to get frustrated and kind of go with the crowd and say, hey, we need to shift up our lineup, or we need a new first baseman, or whatever the case is. But, almost putting it on the fans, again, if I'm in the management position, I want to say, okay, well, what would make you happy, right? We go back to those feelings we talked about earlier. What would make you feel satisfied? That doesn't mean that leadership is going to be able to get there necessarily, but if they don't have a concrete milestone beyond what you would expect, right? Winning a World Series and being competitive and everything else, if they can't coalesce around something specific and they're just trying to, they being the management, if they're just trying to appease some vague disappointment, that's not going to go anywhere, Jason. You know that. You need specifics. You need goals. You need milestones. And so coalescing around what those milestones are and then showing that you're actively taking steps to get there, that's the ideal scenario. We're far from ideal here in Pittsburgh, at least when it comes to the Pirates, but that in a nutshell is sort of my mindset and my approach when it comes to the same types of situations that occur in the corporate world within oil and gas.
And just to give people an idea about how important ownership is when you start having some wonky or some difficult ownership, I'm a Washington Redskins, Washington football team, Washington Commanders fan. So I actually know firsthand what it's like to have great ownership, terrible ownership, and then great ownership once again. So you can see the turnarounds happen when culture changes. Now, let's talk about your football team, the Pittsburgh Steelers. Great owner, great head coach, seemingly a good culture, just can't get over that hump. They had a great quarterback, a great leader with Ben Roethlisberger. And since he stepped away as their offensive leader, they haven't been able to punch through to that next step. Right now, they have somebody waiting in the wings that apparently is going to come and join their team, Aaron Rodgers, to give them another chance at it. Talk to me a little bit about how you would coach the coaches on this, because you've got backup quarterbacks demanding answers. You've got internal staff members demanding answers. You probably got HR with payroll wondering, accountants wondering what kind of beans they're going to be counting coming up for next year. Does Aaron Rodgers like vegan meals or not? You got people in the organization that need answers, Joe. But also at the same time, when you're a public organization, whether you're oil and gas or you're the NFL, you got people like me waiting to spread news, man. So let's talk a little bit about that, because this is a tough situation where you got a good owner, you got a good coach. Now you got to trust. But do you trust the guy that you're supposed to trust, meaning outside of the organization? So there's a lot of variables here. So there's no right answer. Just let's talk a little bit about our fantasy coaching with the Pittsburgh Steelers.
All right. Well, so I guess I'll answer that in two parts, or at least I'll address one thing that you said, because part of the unease here in Pittsburgh over the last several years regarding the Steelers is really just what you said. They've got a good owner, they've got a good coach, but the narrative out there is that they don't have a great owner and they don't have a great coach, and certainly they haven't had great results over the last, 8 or so years. So that's what you're fighting against, Jason. It's that sense that, folks have gotten too comfortable, right? We've settled into a situation where we're content having a winning season, but not winning an actual playoff game. So that's just to kind of set the stage on, what the stakeholders, if you will, are seeing here in Pittsburgh. You know, that's it. That's it's this, hey, are we settling for good and mediocre as opposed to great? As far as how to attack the current challenges, if you will, which are mostly involving the topic of Aaron Rodgers, as you said, one of the best tools that I use with the folks that I work with is starting with what you do know. Again, not ignoring the elephant in the room, but at least listing out all of the things that aren't changing, that you do know, that you are certain about. Because that list is way longer than the question of who the quarterback is going to be. Now, again, that is an outsized question, obviously. But once you start listing out the things that aren't changing, that are certain, that you do know, that you can start planning for, it can change the tone a little bit, change the tenor of either the organization internally or certainly for outside stakeholders to say, look, we got this. Yes, there's some stuff that's unsettled right now, but 95% of what we need to do to execute to win is settled. And we are confident in this, and we are striving for great results. So I'll pause there, Jason. But again, that's the first step. Instead of all of a sudden putting 95% of your effort on one question, even when it's a big question, like who's going to be your quarterback, it's human nature to see that as a distraction, put all your eggs in that basket, all your energy in that basket, and ignore everything else that's already in place.
Joe Sinnott, he's the host of the Energy Detox podcast and the CEO of Whiting Partners. He's out of the Marcellus Shale play, the Marcellus Utica Shale play. What's happening out there? I know you're active with a few organizations. Any news to report from either the shale play or any of your organizations?
Well, in this part of the world, as you said, Marcellus, Utica, I mean, big story
Appalachia,
everywhere, right?
I
There's
guess.
M&A. So, we've had one M&A deal here in the last couple of weeks announced. That is that EQT will be purchasing Olympus Energy. So Olympus, a smaller operator in this part of the world, but an operator that operates in more urban areas, less rural areas than some of the other operators. So, Olympus unique in that regard. And, their assets will be absorbed into EQT, I think, sometime in the third quarter. So, that's the latest on the M&A front. Besides that, Jason, I think the other big story, and this is certainly not limited to Appalachia, but whether you're talking Ohio, Pennsylvania, or West Virginia, data centers. You cannot escape the reality that these data centers are going to be popping up. They're going to need a lot of natural gas to operate. And so there has been a lot of attention, a lot of headlines, a lot of announcements surrounding data centers. So I'd say those are probably the two biggest headlines or themes floating around here in the Marcellus these days. And we'll obviously always be curious to see, how that transpires over the coming years.
Well, I got to give you an opportunity to plug your business because I just remembered the three articles I got this week about the data centers. And you sparked a memory right there that they're being bought up because of the natural gas needed, eventually nuclear, but these data centers are kind of becoming the new pipeline, if you will, as far as the NIMBY. People aren't wanting them in the backyard, and so they're kind of becoming a little bit of a PR battle on some of the local areas. So when you see organizations like EQT buying up some of the rural areas, that is what's happening across the United States. And so it's a trend, if you will. I wanted to like throw up a flag to say, oh, trend watch. We got Joe Sinnott with a trend watch here. But you've got some experience with some of these different energy companies. So plug your business because right now, that's when people need you more than ever is during these M&As to get an extra set of eyeballs in there with the history of a merger and acquisition to know so you can stay a step ahead of the management and the boss that hires you. That's the type of people that people like to hire are the ones that, make the others look good. So talk about your business a little bit and the mergers that are kind of going on here because they go hand in hand. So anyways, sorry, go ahead. Terrible way to phrase my question today.
No need for apologies. And obviously appreciate the opportunity as always to share what it is I actually do. Because, the idea of a coach, right, whether it's an executive coach, a business coach, a career coach, it could be somewhat vague, Jason. But at the end of the day, whether it's smooth sailing for companies, which is rare, or they're going through significant changes like those associated with M&A, my job is to help individuals within the company at any level, from C-suite all the way down to the frontline leaders, act more consciously, to be the extra set of eyes and ears to make sure that they are not unwittingly limiting the odds of a successful integration of new assets, for example, or unwittingly limiting their ability to motivate new employees who are coming into their organization. So really, at the end of the day, Jason, when I coach individuals, it's me asking questions, it's me observing, it's me having conversations with lots of different stakeholders to identify those handful of potential barriers to success, and then on the flip side, a handful of opportunities to further play to existing strengths for individual leaders and for the organization as a whole. And as we've talked about, before, having somebody who can do that independently, who's been through this process, if you will, of navigating corporate America here, specific to oil and gas, at the end of the day, that just helps me ask better questions, ask them more efficiently, and help, again, identify those barriers, identify those opportunities quickly so that leaders, again, help their company make as much money as possible, right? I mean, that's the bottom line impact and the value that I bring to organizations. So, for anybody that's always, anybody that's interested in learning more about that, certainly always welcome that conversation. Always happy to engage with folks, whether they reach out on LinkedIn or head on over to wittingpartners.com, Wittingpartners. Partners. Always happy to have a conversation and, again, give a little bit more detail and almost a bit of a sample, if you will, of how I challenge oil and gas leaders to make better, more confident, and more sustainable decisions.
Should mention too, he does have a new episode of the Energy Detox up. How does the Via Negativa, how do you pronounce that?
Well, Via
Negativa?
Negativa is how I've been pronouncing it, but
Via
I'm not a Latin
Negativa.
specialist, so.
How does the Via Negativa lead to positive energy? There you go. That's what we're talking about. Turn that frown upside down. That's another way to phrase that. Okay, all right. Hey, I come from the thesaurus world, so everything you got to have at least three thesauruses in my head at all times there, especially as a Libra. But anyway, Joe Sinnott, thank you very much, and we'll catch you down the road. Okay, sir.
All right. Thank you very much, Jason.